story of a man I met several years ago when I began participating in retreats for homeless and formerly homeless men. Retreats organized by the Ignatian Spirituality Project. In homilies, I usually change people's names for the purpose of anonymity, but my friend asked that I use his real name. It's his story, so I will respect his request. His name is Isaac. Isaac had a tough childhood, but things went from bad to worse on the day that his brother was shot and killed. That was the first day, he recalls, that he smoked crack cocaine. The drugs that at first served as a temporary relief from the pain and rage associated with his brother's murder quickly trapped Isaac in an addiction. As we all know, addiction is an insidious illness. As it progresses, the addict attempts to hide his illness by lying to friends and family, continually pushing them away, pushing them out of his life, completely isolating himself in a space occupied only by himself and the addiction. Sometimes the addiction compels the person to steal from those closest to him, thus cementing the barriers between him and others. This was more or less Isaac's existence for years. His addiction landed him on the streets. Whatever substance was flowing through his veins was poison. It was gradually killing him physically and making him toxic to those who crossed paths with him. He had become one of the untouchables of our society, one whose presence was considered unclean. Those who associate with addicts risk being drawn into a web of lies and disappointment. Many, if not most, sadly, prefer not to touch them at all, either physically or emotionally. At one point, Isaac found himself in a large city far away from home. He had a drug-related episode that landed him in the hospital. It wasn't anything serious, really, but Isaac was glad to have a comfortable bed for the night and a couple of warm meals. By contrast, the other man in Isaac's hospital room really was in rough shape, probably dying. Once this man's family had left, the man started talking to Isaac about the shattered fragments of Isaac's life. He said to Isaac, "You see my wallet over there? Take out $100 and get yourself home." That simple invitation from a total stranger was perhaps the most important moment in Isaac's life. Divine power flowed from the sick man's goodness and generosity and into Isaac. Isaac got himself back to his home city and put his recovery from addiction at the center of his life. In the process, happily, he became involved with Ignatian spirituality. Now, he is no longer homeless, and this summer he's finishing the requirements to be licensed as a substance abuse counselor. The divine power that flowed from the sick man and into Isaac now radiates from Isaac. This divine power magnetically draws to Isaac men and women in the homeless community as well as people struggling with addiction. And they find healing in Isaac's warm, enveloping embrace, in his strength of character and wisdom, as well as in the story of his hardships and triumphs. A while back, Isaac was going to one of his 12-step meetings when who should appear at this meeting but the man who shot and killed his brother? The man whose actions pushed Isaac into the downward spiral of addiction and poverty. Isaac walked over to his brother's murderer, who, noticing Isaac approaching, must have been sweating bullets. Isaac is a big guy, and at first glance, somewhat intimidating. Isaac looked the guy in the face and said, "The day you killed my brother, you became my brother. And they've been brothers since." Yes. That's what it looks like when divine power flows from one individual from another. This power heals wounds, even seemingly irreparable wounds, restores shattered lives, and draws people into community. The woman with the flow of blood from today's gospel bears some resemblance to my friend Isaac. Her condition separated her from her community. Her flow of blood made her ritually unclean. To touch her meant to be polluted, contaminated. Ritual pollution was not considered the same thing as moral pollution. There is no indication that this woman had done anything wrong. But ritual pollution was nevertheless quite serious. Like a disease, it could spread when the unclean person touched another person or object. This kind of pollution was thought to be noxious to God, and if the pollution spread far enough, it could drive God out from the midst of the community. In other words, the woman from today's story, not unlike addicts in our society, is untouchable, a threat to the community's welfare, an obstacle to the community's proximity to God. The divine power that flowed from the hem of Jesus' garment, however, healed the woman's condition. At the same time, it cleansed her of ritual pollution and reunited her with her community. The divine power made her clean, touchable. I long for this divine power, which flowed from the hem of Jesus' garment to the ritually unclean woman, that flowed from the man in the hospital bed to Isaac, and from Isaac to the man who murdered his brother. I long for this divine power to flow through me, healing my wounds, softening the sharp edges of my personality that distance me from family, friends, and community. I long for this divine power that can draw me into community and through community to my God. That's why I'm here. I feel this divine power pulsing through the words of this sacred book and through the living bread and the saving cup that we share. I feel this divine power pulsing through Isaac's story and through your stories. The stories of a young couple eager for marriage, or of a couple celebrating many years of marriage. The stories of women speaking out against sexual harassment, of racial minorities staking a claim to their civil rights, of LGBTQ Christians standing strong against the prejudices in their own church, of migrants at the border thirsting for life, of addicts battling for sobriety. Yes, I long for the divine power that pulses through your stories and the example of your lives. And I don't think I'm the only one here who does.